Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sponsoring this week on Staying Relevant is Hinge. I am very, very excited about this one, Samuel.
Oh, Hinge, the dating app designed to be deleted. It is very up your street, to be fair.
There is an opportunity for you to be involved, though, Sam.
Any excuse to meddle in your love life. I love it.
With voice prompt, my best friends take on why you should date me. You can actually lean on your friends to hype you up to potential matches. Try not to get too excited, Sam.
I would be the best hype man for you. You know I would. I'd talk about your smell and then move on to how you always take care of anyone in your group on a night out and also how you bring little snacks in your briefcase. They're very endearing qualities.
Wow. Just wow, Sam. As we found out there, it's not easy to see your own green flags, especially if you're humble and self-deprecating like me. Add that to your list, Samuel. But it is easy for your friends to do so on your behalf.
Now, I'm glad you like my suggestion, Peter, and download the dating app Hinge and try its voice prompts today. Welcome to Staying Relevant, the podcast hosted by two bestest of best pals, brothers from other mothers, and living life to the fullest.
That was weird. As always, I will be swearing. If you don't like that, go f*** yourself. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, what's the other one? YouTube, at Staying Relevant Podcast. We come out every Monday. You can watch that every Friday. And then we have a bonus episode every Thursday, which you can watch every Sunday on YouTube. So that's Monday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't get involved in
this. This is some kind of podcast. I've got my mate calling me at the minute, and he's...
You've answered it.
I'll give you the call back. I'm doing a podcast right now. Gary, you've just made your entrance on the Staying Relevant podcast.
Yeah!
This is it.
Man. Yeah, guys, we're doing it.
We're doing this.
Staying Relevant podcast.
This is happening, boys.
Come on.
I'm so glad you're here.
When did Sam first ask you about doing this? Was it in the jungle?
Of course he did. First thing he said to me when I met him, "Hi, I'm Sam. Can you come and do Staying Relevant podcast?" Literally.
That was the only thing. That was the only mission I gave him, was just get as many people as you can.
Yeah. And it worked. We're here.
Yeah.
I did say it to both of them.
He didn't actually say that to me. He just said, "It's Tony Bellew." Yeah. I can't believe it's Tony Bellew. And it sticks with me. I said to him, "All right, champ." And he went, "I can't believe it's Tony Bellew. Just call me champ." Unbelievable.
Do you know, that is pretty cool. I'm still not used to it, to be fair. Do you know what Pete actually said to me when we had got you guys to come in here? He went, "How much have you had to pay them to come here?"
Absolutely. Tony, you've come from fucking Liverpool down here.
I know, mate. Yes. Don't worry about that.
And he got it quicker than me. I was the one that's late, and I've come from half an hour up the road. What's all that about?
It's London traffic, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Terrible, fucking mate.
Mate, I'm not letting them get away with it that easy, mate.
Sorry, guys. Apologies.
Do you know what
I'm not
I
getting
love?
Away with it that easy, mate.
Look at us, the guys, the boys. Don't be that guy.
Why is he like everything weird?
No, but we're the boys, and we're back in town.
We are, yeah.
And I think it's only right to sort of like, to start at the beginning. You know, for everybody involved. As I want to get this out there. First impressions.
Yeah. Do you know what? Actually, you just take a step back for a minute.
Okay.
Because no one gives a fuck about your first impressions.
Okay.
Boys, did you have any idea who the fuck Sam was before you met him in the jungle?
Of course I did. I've definitely met you before. 100%. Somewhere along the lines we've met. And I heard rumours that Sam was going to be in there.
Was it in the bush outside your house?
It was, yeah. It was. You know, as always, you're expecting Sam to be a tad excited when you first meet him. And he completely lived up to every expectation. He was very excited. And I was so excited as well, do you know what I mean? So it was good. Really good.
I feel like you're lying.
I'm not lying, I promise you. I promise.
Because I don't know anyone that's excited about seeing Sam. So that would be a first time for everything. Tony, you had no idea who he was.
Absolutely no idea. There's no point in lying or dressing up in any way, shape or form. And I was absolutely amazed he knew who I was, to be told.
Oh, like obsessed. I was fully obsessed. Because I think you were leaked as potentially going in.
Yeah, and at that stage I still hadn't signed.
Do you not?
No.
Yeah. So, and obviously, Marv, we knew you were going in, and like Sam, when he was going out there, I said to him, you know, about the people that were going in, and we was going through people, and he said, I'm just so excited to meet Marvin and Tony. It's literally what he said beforehand, and I think he basically forced himself upon both of you, and you didn't really have a fucking choice, did you?
Well, he didn't have a choice, because you're stuck in a jungle, so you have to have, you know, you have to become friends.
Yeah, it was either Sam or Farage.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah,
when you put it like that, I mean, it's quite a quick choice.
Yeah.
So what did you first think of him then, Tony, when you first met him and he came up to you like a fucking weird little lap dog trying to shag your leg?
The first time I'd seen him, the God's honest truth was, I thought, so I was late in. So I was in the hotel room and I got me phone took and everything like that. So I'm on lockdown. I'd seen the leaked cast, but I didn't pay attention. I basically knew no one besides Marvin. I obviously knew Marv most because of
Jackass. Why do you like Marv? Because he's one of your favourite songs ever.
I love that song. Well, at that stage, I didn't know Marvin. I wrote the song. I learned that one when we got into the jungle. But I've always loved that song.
It's a bizarre fact, by the way. Tony Bell, you love in... I won't say he loves JLS, but he loves Love You More, one of our songs.
That song, mate.
Like, it was just mad. Anyway,
I do like JLS, by the way. I do like JLS.
No.
But that song is one of my favourite songs.
I agree with Marvin. It was out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Tony comes to Marv and goes, oh my God. You sing my favourite song.
I'm still stunned because it's Tony Bellew and I'm like, okay, I'm expecting Everybody in Love or Beat Again.
Yeah.
He pulls out Love You More. Yeah. I mean, like, it's a big song, but it's not one of the biggest, you know what I mean?
He started singing it to Marv as well.
It's good. He's got a good voice as well, by the way.
They're lying bastards, the whole lot. But anyway, to save my life.
You've looked at the group, right? You've looked at the list.
I've seen the list. I knew Farage was because... As I said, and I said to his face, who else did I know? You, Marvin, Farage. I knew EastEnders, so I definitely knew Danny.
Yeah.
Yep.
Frankie, you must have known.
I knew Frankie the Tory was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fred?
I'm a punchy bastard. I know Fred, yeah. I knew Fred was.
So I'm the only one you didn't know.
You knew anyone. No, so I didn't have a clue who Grace was. I didn't have a clue. Britney Spears had a sister. She didn't have a clue who Jamie was. So the first time I seen Sam was I was in a hotel room, so... A runner called Claire stuck them on the screen, so she showed me the first two episodes. Yeah, and she went, and I'm not gonna lie, I just thought, what the fuck's up with him? I thought, where the fucking hell have they got him from? and that's the God's honest truth. I just thought, oh my Lord. And she was like, he's absolutely brilliant, isn't he? And I was thinking,
that's one word for it.
You want me? That Claire was like, he's great, isn't he? I was like, you want me to live with him, don't you? And I was like, he's got more energy than any of my children, and one of them's three.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, he doesn't stop, does he? And I was like, he can't be like that all the time. He must rest or sleep at some point. She was just like, just watch it, Tony. And I kept talking all through what she showed me.
Yeah. So did you get to watch what was going on before you went in?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
They showed me the first episode where you guys were on a building.
Yes.
And then you were in a desert in the middle of nowhere.
And a skydive.
Yeah, when Josie stuck her head in a tank in a canister thing.
Yeah.
They showed me that. And Grace, I'd seen yours as well.
Yeah.
What you've done. So I'd seen them episodes and then that was all I'd seen. And then they basically just the next morning they said, off you go.
Off you go. Do you know what? So this annoyingly, I was really upset about this. Me and Marv on different teams.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, when you came in, it was like that high school vibe. Yeah. It was like one team over there, one team over there. And I was like, oh, no, like all the, like my boys were on that
side. Yeah, we got split up, man.
Yeah, we got split up.
Home
really
and away.
Nick. It was the home and away team. So it was Marv and Nick, like who were like my bestest pals there until you obviously turned up as well, Tone.
Yeah.
And so I was already a bit upset about that. I was like, oh no.
But you know the real reason for that was because they requested
it. No, I knew you were going to say that. They didn't. But then Tony came in with Frankie Dettori.
Yeah.
Now, I'd never met Frankie before. And actually, you will both agree, what an absolute legend, the love of the entire world. Having said that, when they both came in, I was like, oh, if we don't get Tony, I was like, I need to get Tony on our team so much. I was literally, when Tony was doing the race, you know how to pick up that bollock with your mouth. Yeah. I was going, go on! on, Tony! You're meant to be impartial. I was like, go on, Tony! Go on, Tony! He's never met me before in his life, right? And then obviously he lost it, went to the away team, and I was the most jealous I've ever been in that entire jungle because all of you were together.
Yeah, but mate, we were in bloody Snake Rock. So I'm saying you guys won the Breakfast of Champions. Like, so you definitely had the better deal.
And actually, do you know what? So this is something Pete asked me. He was like, look, boys, when you and the boys are there, like, try and tell us a story maybe that other people haven't heard and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And one of the best stories that never got shown, right? I'm going to let Marvin tell this, but I'm going to give you a little bit of outline, is when Tony, bless him, and Nigel drank all of those horrible drinks, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then you returned to Snake Rock.
Yeah.
What happened then?
We returned to, yeah, that all, you know, all of the cockroach juice and the pigs.
I've got to say, watching, that's the worst thing I watched.
It was horrible. And they weren't small either, like,
nah.
What pints they were? So I went first, Nigel went second. I drank 4 pints. Before Nigel's fourth, Nigel said, I'm going to stop because they're too thick.
Yeah.
You literally couldn't suck mine up through a straw.
Oh,
that was thick. Like cement.
It was a brain, and I was so I drank the 4. Nigel drank 3. But I'm telling you now, it was that thick. It was the best way to explain it is, you know when you get a slush, the bottom of the slush?
Yeah.
The whole thing was like the bottom of a slush.
Oh.
And Nigel wanted to quit, right? And we're like, come on, Nigel, you got to do it. You know, fair play to Nigel. He was game for it, but they literally were undrinkable. Anyway, Big T, he's throwing up after everyone. Yeah. Like, literally, he's down in it. And then, you know, it's not staying up, is it? He's just getting rid of it. And that, you know, that, it's hard to watch, to be fair.
Marvin actually came back and went, it's really tough for us to watch.
No, it was because
the salty one stayed
down. I'm looking at your face, man. It was tough to watch while smiling at the camera. It was real tough,
no,
mate.
But listen, you just felt for Tony. Everything was coming up. And that was the right thing to do. Then Nigel, being Nigel, he's like, Nigel wouldn't throw up. We get back to Snake Rock and he is literally in the corner of the camp like this. And he's just going, I'm like, Nigel. Like, Nigel, there's no pride in holding it down. Just go and chuck it up. Stick your fingers down your throat and get it all out. He's like, what did he say? He said,
there's no medals for keeping it down.
Yeah, he said, no, I'm too proud. I'm going to keep it down. Like this. And he wouldn't do it. And, you know, I don't know how quickly Tony felt better after it, but Nigel was in a bad way for a couple of days. He kept it all in.
Nigel, it was so funny, though.
I was on the toilet because when we got accepted into their camp, I was still going to the toilet.
Yeah, he was. Bad.
Yeah.
Because it was coming out of both ways.
I remember when we went in as well, I think I pulled you quickly and I said, right, Sam, I know you're a big fan of Tony, but please, bro, just be chill. Like, don't be jumping on his back. Just relax. You know, like, I'm cool and like, you can do that with me, but Big T, just take it easy.
You watch any of it back?
I've seen most of
You've seen. So basically, when you rejoined the camp, pretty much everyone in Sam's team had sat Sam down and gave him the Tony talk. And really? What I mean by that, they'd all sat down and gone, listen, we love the way you are, but maybe just tone it down a little when Tony comes in.
Yeah.
So Sam, literally, I'm not even joking, it was like watching a kid at Christmas. When you all come in, he was like this. He was fucking shaking like a shitting dog, right? Just for you to come in. And then he goes running up to you and stops just in front of you and goes, can I hug you? And it's the creepiest thing I think I've ever seen. And you just went, yeah, all right, mate. And then he literally walks off and you can see him. The camera goes to him and he goes, yes. You're the only person that he really tried to not be over the top with at the beginning.
Because we told him.
Marv sat me down.
Proper pep talk with him. Yeah. I said, Sam, you got to be chill because Tony, like, he's a lovely guy. I've spent 2 or 3 nights with him, but just relax because I know what he's like.
Yeah, but you had asked him all the questions and I hadn't been allowed to ask him any questions yet because we were in different camps. And then, like, one of my favourite visions, right, and I'm not even there, is when they're in this horrible camp called Snake Rock and it's shitting it down. Storms, like lightning and rain coming down. And just all I can imagine is them sitting on these logs, Tony throwing up and shitting over there. Nigel going,
Ferrari going off like an old generator in the corner.
And then Marvin going, there's no prizes for keeping it down, Nigel. Get it out whilst it's lashing down with rain.
That was
so fucking funny. And that was the first time that we had all been together after that. And we never, ever looked back.
What a lovely moment that was.
What a lovely moment.
The Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
Axwell, Murph.
And Teabag.
It's not teabag shit face.
It's teabag.
Do you know what is? Well, like, I've not really watched the show before. This is the first year that I've watched it.
Hmm.
But from what everyone's told me, this is the first year really where everyone kind of properly got on. It looked like everyone really got on in camp, because most years there's like a proper tension. Although there was a little bit between a couple of people, you pretty much all got on quite well, didn't you?
We did.
Yeah, who was the biggest shit stirrer and problem person?
Was he a shit stirrer?
I don't think there really was. Like, obviously, I had a couple of things, you know, with Nella and Fred, and then Josie and Fred, and then Nige and Fred would go at it. Is there a common theme?
Yeah, I'm listening. I think you've answered that for us.
No, but you know what? The thing with Fred, and listen, if we never had him in that camp,
oh, we would have died.
It would have been awful. You know, this guy's a proper chef, you know. Understandably, you know, he was looking over Josie's shoulder. But what he didn't see, and I've watched a lot of it back, you know, he was just giving advice, you know what I mean? Just helping out.
When
so.
I think back, I think I might have played the two of them, but not off against each other. I tried to like be nice to both. Like, I tried to say, Fred, chill out, it's going to be okay. Just she knows what she's doing. Then I go, Joe, it's okay, he's just trying to help. So I was trying to like be Kofi Annan between the two of them.
Yeah,
but instead you were just fucking whining it right up in the middle. There's fucking Tony in the corner going, stirring the beans.
It's only now when I've just thought about it and I've thought, does that look like I'm staying there or not? But I just tried to keep them both happy.
Do you know what I love? One of my favourite moments from us three was when we did that motel thing, right? It was when I was sheriff and you were deputy, Marvin. And
That was the worst night.
I was like, I'm going to do it, right? Because I'd just been made captain. So I was like, I've got to better fucking do it. And then obviously deputy Mert Axwell came and was like, well, I'll go too. And then it went silent, right? And then Tony had only been there for like a day. And Tony went, well, no one else fucking said anything. So he stood up when we were doing it, and I couldn't have been happier. I was literally like, oh my God, we're actually going.
Do you know what, if you remember, that was the first time we had to vote ourselves to do a trial. So when it was like, everyone voted, everyone kept going, I'll do it. And I felt like, because Fred kept saying, I want to do every trial. I was like, okay, well, I didn't really vote for myself. I thought, just people want to do it, just do it.
Yeah.
So when it come to, they said Misery Motel, and like, no one just put their hand up.
Nah.
And I'm sitting there nice.
Because they said we were spending the night, and I think we were just
everyone just went down tonight. So I just went straight to, I just went, I'm doing it.
No, he went first.
Oh, yeah, he went
first. Tony went first, and then you went, and I'm like, bloody hell, Sam. We've just got the bus, like our first decent night's sleep, and you've bloody put us up. So, you put your hand up. I'm like, I'm going to have to do it.
No, the only reason I said it was because there was women there. That's the only reason. I just thought, you can't let one of these do it. And I'd seen how Nella had gone on. I mean, fucking hell, she'd seen spiders in camp, and the screaming was madness.
Yeah.
Now, I never said this on the whole thing, and I don't think anyone was on it. I'm absolutely shit scared of spiders. I hate spiders.
I know.
But I didn't show that while I was there, because I thought, if I show spiders on there, I'm in for a bad one.
Yeah.
So I hate spiders. I hate everything really, but I was just able to try and hide a little bit.
One of my, that was probably my favourite try.
So
that,
do you know why it was mine as
it
well?
Was good.
Because we bonded so hard. You didn't see this, and you were asking things, right? So basically, this is literally like the first or second night that I've been introduced to Tony, as well as everyone else coming back to camp. And so Marvin's at the front. We're walking down to this Misery Motel, and it's quite a big walk, and it's absolutely raining like you wouldn't believe, right?
Yeah,
so,
you nearly.
Mate, I was going to say, so we're getting walked down this hill, right? And I slip, and I literally studs up on Tony's leg, just with my massive boots on, sliding down the hill, went straight double foot into his ankle.
It was a red card.
Into my leg. Tony then goes down.
It stayed.
Did he take you down as well?
The leg, the
crumpled.
The standing
fucking
leg.
Fucking boy Keane Harlan fucking incident.
Mate, honest to God, the standing leg took a belt, and I thought, you've just so nearly snapped my leg.
Yeah.
I swear, his whole body weight landed on me leg there.
Imagine looking up at him like that, and he's looked down at you guys, you need to snap my leg. I'm literally going there with legs up going, I'm so sorry.
Marv was at the front because I was in the middle. He had Marv, me, then Sam, and I remember going, like, Marv was just walking away.
I just wanted to get there, get it done.
Do you remember the size of the bugs?
It was
a huntsman the size of my hand.
Yeah.
Because when you're in camp, they're obviously on the lookout for any wild animals or any wild insects. But when you're actually walking, you walk through the jungle to get to trials, and
they don't clear it. Like, they don't clear, they clear it yet. A little bit. Don't
they clear
they?
Our
yeah,
section
as much, like, as, they much as they can,
as much as they can. But in our, but when you walk out of our section, it's the wild jungle, and they made there was a fucking huntsman the size of my hand. Yeah. They shone a torch on it, and I was just like, I'm not going anywhere near that. That fucking jumps, mate. You're dead.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things, right, is when we do this misery motel. Please, if you're listening to this, watch it back, because it's fucking brilliant. Me and Marvin, but again, only just met Tony, right? But me and Marvin are watching. You know, you've got to look through the windows at people going to try and find stars. We're like trying to help, so we're allowed to lean through the window. I don't know if you saw it. We're leaning through and trying to help Tony find the stars in this motel thing.
Marvin goes in first, by the way.
Marvin went in single first. Star. Absolutely smashed.
Piece of piss.
Tony went in.
Made it look dead easy. I thought, mine's going to be nice and easy now. Marvin pissed it.
Tony goes in really, really relaxed, right?
Put me in help.
He goes in and just gets like awful all over him, and then they dropped cockroaches, and it's like, have you ever watched scarab beetles in Mummy, where they're all over writhing around you? He starts punching the air. He starts going,
he starts shadow boxing.
Yeah. He literally starts going, get him off me!
The sounds are, he's going, zzz, zzz, zzz.
It's fucking nuts. And then the camera, I don't know if the camera shows, me and Marv are dead.
It was so
laughing
funny.
At it. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. And he turns around, looks at us.
He wants to bang us out.
Yeah. So bad, but one of the funniest feeling.
That was the first time my dad, that was the first time I'd been covered in bugs. So at this stage, these guys have been seeing the bugs, felt them on them, the smell of awful. This is the first time I've been, at this stage, all I've done is had a pig's testicle in my mouth.
It was a bit of a common thing after that for you, just getting covered in shit and bugs, really, wasn't it? That last trial.
Sam was around me an awful lot.
Was that one that you did when you were here?
Yeah.
The last one, I'm not sure. Whose was harder, yours or yours?
Tony's. Because I couldn't have done Tony's. That was medieval.
That was.
I've never seen everything bit.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says, mealworms can bite.
This is brilliant.
No, mealworms bite.
He couldn't stop talking about this. They put the offal on him, and now I know why, because it made things hungry. Put the offal on him. And he's going, the mealworms are biting. The guy's like, mealworms don't bite, mate. And he's like, they're biting me.
That's all he kept saying. They don't bite, mate. Nothing bites. And I was like, fucking don't tell me it's biting. Everything's biting. It's just ridiculous.
That last one was horrible. Mate, yours was very, very tough,
mate. You had to eat a lot.
The stuff you had to eat. For the whole fucking 2 weeks. He flew to Australia specifically for that reason, mate.
Oh,
mate.
Oh,
What was it? Was it pig's vagina? That was the one you said was the worst.
That was the hard one. Yeah, I threw up in my hand and then had to put it back in my mouth.
All the eating ones always look really hard, but that's what I said about that smoothie one. I feel like that looks harder than the eating, because you can kind of chew a bit and swallow. That is just all in your...
The worst was the plum fruit.
Why do you think, boys, that we got along so well?
Well, I don't think they had a choice.
I said that already, we kind of had to.
Yeah, it's persistence pays, really.
Why are we such good mates?
I think for us two, obviously that initial few days before Big T come in.
Why is Tony looking at the sky?
We just...
trying to find a reason.
We bonded over JLS, you know what I mean? Obviously, we got on really well, and I felt sorry for you. You know what I mean?
There we go.
Know, that's,
there we go.
I thought, I just... When you don't go in anywhere with an agenda and you're just willing to get to know people, it took me a while. So it wasn't just straight away. I'm pretty good at figuring people out, and I figured out quite quickly, you two, Nick, Frankie, and most of the others, it was just genuinely good people.
Yeah. That's what you're right, OT. I don't think any of us, I think maybe one or two had a general, you know, a bit of a game plan, but none of us did. You know, we just went in there just for ourselves and just got on with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So on that note then, like, I obviously know why, because you've always wanted, you love the show, like, you've always watched it and you love it, and that's why
I'd
you
go back
did
tomorrow.
It. Why the fuck?
I do miss it.
Do
you not miss it?
But that's what I mean. No, why the fuck did you do it? No, and why the fuck did you do it?
For me, like Sam, big fan of the show, you know, I've been asked to do a few, you know, not, there's no show similar to that, but asked to do other shows I said no to, but always said to Rosh, if I was going to do one of these shows, it would be I'm a Celeb. And I'd never been asked before. It's the first time. Rosh had been asked for a few years.
I was going to say, because I spoke to Rochelle about it, and she was like, I've been asked like a few times. And I was like, why have you not done? She was like, I couldn't think of anything worse.
Nah, she
absolutely no fucking chance on earth I would be doing
she,
that.
When she came in at the end, she literally was petrified. She was there for 30 minutes, you know what I mean? And she was like, she couldn't believe this is what we were in. Yeah. But yeah, for me, it was just a no-brainer. As soon as I got asked, I was like, yeah. And to be fair, it was the first time in 15 years I had like a window. I wasn't doing JLS stuff or radio stuff. So yeah, it was just a bit of a no-brainer for me, mate, to be fair. And I do miss it. I do.
Yeah, you do.
When you're in there, you can't wait to get out. But since I've been back,
can't wait to get
and
back
since
in.
I watched it.
Really?
Yeah, it's
you
mad.
You go back in, you pair.
I would go back in. I would go back in.
What about you, Tom?
So, do you want the God's Honest Truth of why I went in?
Yeah.
Okay. My wife's 40 this year. Well, my wife was 40 that year, and I thought...
We went to her birthday.
She's always wanted to go to Australia, and I thought...
Oh, this is brilliant.
Mate, you're fucking brilliant. So, you're fucking brilliant.
You killed two birds
She's 40 this year. I've got to do something that money can't really buy. Yeah. And I situated, so I thought, right, they're offering her a few quid. I thought... It weren't the money, but I thought it's a few. I'm going to get paid. I said she's going to get the holiday of an absolute lifetime. And if it was me general thinking here, I'm going to be out after a week, if that, because who's going to fucking vote for the Scouser? That was my thought. I'm going to get a free holiday, all expenses paid. My missus is going to get to go to Australia, which she's always wanted.
Yep.
And my kids are going to have the time.
So effectively, what you're saying is, Tony, is that for Rachel's 40th, you got her a holiday with Pete Wicks in Australia.
Yeah.
That's back then, basically.
Now, do you know if I'd have known who Pete was before I'd have gone in there, right? I swear on my kids' lives, I'd have said, you fucking stay well.
Do you know what's mad?
Honest to God, Pete.
He's
I'd
too good looking.
If I'd have seen Pete, I didn't know, because my missus obviously knew you was. I had no idea who Pete was. And if I'd have known Pete fucking Wicks looked like that, and because all he told me was, he's the guy with, what's the hat? I know it's a fedora now, but what did I call it?
Chilby.
It's a guy with a Chilby, and I was thinking, yeah, because he was like, Sam said,
you've got Pete Doherty.
Yes, Sam said, like, a couple of the people said in the camp, yeah, Peter, he's a lovely looking boy. And I thought, yeah, fucking fella with a Chilby, whatever. And then I was thinking, and then Sam seen him, he said, it's not a Chilby, it's a fedora.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, same fucking thing. And all I could think was,
Pete Doherty.
I was thinking, yeah. Tell me. And then I seen him and I just thought, oh my fucking God.
Well, do you know
he is a good looking fucker, by the way.
This segues really nicely over to Pete's jungle experience. Because look, everyone's fucking watched awful. Ours. Pete had his own jungle experience.
I think Pete thought that he was going to have an all expenses paid for a lovely time in Australia.
I'm not even joking. You know what I mean? So I ride bikes, right? So I was going to have a bike delivered to me. I was going to tour up and down the coast and do all that. I didn't realise this dickhead didn't tell me that I was going to be on the fucking bus
every morning
at fucking 4 a.m. every morning.
Every morning, sitting in that catering tent. I don't know either.
Didn't say a word.
But do you know what's mad is, like, Rachel from the beginning had said when you went in, she was like, he just thinks he's going to come straight out. And I kept saying to her, I really don't think he is. And it was literally up until the final day, she was like, there's no way Tony's going to be in the top two. And I was like, I'm almost certain. I bet he is.
Oh, yeah,
and she could not fucking believe it.
She knows she's the same where we're from. You just don't. I don't think I've ever seen a Scouse do the show. Because people just generally, I mean, the perception of us being from Liverpool, being North Scousers, is just, we're painted so badly. And I just thought, I can only be me. So I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be me, and people aren't going to like that because of where I'm from. But obviously,
people fell in love with you, mate.
He didn't eat for 4 days.
Do you know what he did at the beginning? He refused.
He refused to eat. You went on a hunger strike.
We're used to eating the rice and the beans, and we're over the fact it's terrible.
But this is the best part.
No, mate, I'm not eating that.
But this is what really made me laugh, is when you were all eating the fucking, you were going, oh, this is really nice. And I think for the first couple of days, Tony went, this is shit.
He did. Why are you saying that this is nice? It is shit.
Mate, I couldn't understand. He's such a big guy and he just wouldn't eat. I was like, this is mental. You're going to die.
Even when we were cooking like the proper meals, he still would only eat the bits of meat. Do you know what I mean? Like, he wouldn't touch the veg.
That was shit. It was all shit.
I didn't mind it, mate.
And you lunatics want to go back. I mean, what did they give you? Like, was he going in that fucking room and they were giving you something that I don't know about, because it was horrendous?
No.
It was a nightmare.
Can I ask you a question?
The only thing that got me through was you two. And Nick. I loved Frankie.
Can I ask you a question? And then I do actually want to move on to Pete's experience. See, the way he's told it to me is fucking hilarious with both of your families. But I watched a clip back of me slapping your head with a mosquito on it.
That was a proper slap as well.
Have you seen that back yet, Tone?
No, I've seen three things through social media. I've not watched a single episode, but I've seen the cyclone. I've seen that fucking slap.
Yeah.
and I've seen me lying on a plate being eaten for fucking dear life.
Mate, yeah.
They're the only three things I've seen the whole thing.
So I've never, like I said, I've not really like seen the show before, and not just because Sam was in there, but I've never seen a social media presence like the one on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was all based off of you three. The JLS and everybody was fucking everywhere. All of the social stuff, you guys went viral, and so did you with all the slapping, the hugging, and all the other stuff that he was doing to you. And you obviously, you guys didn't realise that, like being in there, but on the outside, you could not go through social media without seeing everybody in love or fucking you getting slapped or him hugging you and you going, oh, for fuck's sake, like... It was everywhere, everywhere.
The best bit for me, one of the best bits, was when he was asleep in the hammock.
Oh, with a throwing.
And Sam,
he was throwing
bits of tree, whatever it was.
Things I've seen, that. I didn't know about that until I'd seen it on my phone.
I was on the top bunk and I could see him and I was like, Sam, what the fuck are you doing? And you know what he does? He's such an annoying little brother, right? As soon as someone falls asleep...
You weren't going to say brother then, were you?
No, that's what it's like. That's exactly what it's like. As soon as anyone would fall asleep in a jungle, he would wake them up. Like, Sam, let them sleep. So he's fallen asleep and he's picked up these... Oh, not stones, like little bits of
and
tree.
Little berries.
Little berries, right? Like they're quite rockets. Heavy. They weren't like light. And he's lobbing one and then ducking behind the bush. And all through his sleep, Tony's like this. He's like this, looking up at the trees. And then he goes back to sleep and Sam lobs another one. He does this for about 15 minutes. Yeah. And he's getting absolutely, he's fuming, thinking, what's all this?
But then
coming
didn't
from?
Tony go, oh, stuff falling off the trees? Didn't you go,
yeah.
Do you know the worst part was, right? So I'd lie on my hammock almost every day. And someday, like... Because it was the very edge of the canopy and things would drop off the canopy.
If the wind blew, it would all fall down, wouldn't it?
But these things would fall on you. So I had no idea he was doing it. And over the days, because I used to go back to the same hammock and have an afternoon rest each day, things would drop on me. Because I would get up in the morning, I'd want to change the dunny, I'd want to get as much wood as I could. I tried to tire myself as much as I could to take my mind off the hunger.
Yeah,
and that's why it happened with me. So then I get to like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then that's when I would go bump, and I'd just have half an hour, and then sometimes I would wake up and this bastard would be just pushing me. Other times things would just be hitting me on the head.
Yeah.
So like I said, I don't know what you've seen. I just know what the fuck.
I got him in the eyeball at one point. That's what proper woke him up. Yeah, I got him in the eyeball.
I said, Sam, you have got a death wish, mate. Seriously.
Do you know what I love though? Because I've seen that clip as well, and because I can't hear what Marvin and Nick are saying, right? Mm. Because they got mics on. So I've seen the clip. Marvin's going, this guy. He's like, this guy. And I can't see what Marvin's reaction is over there.
Let the man sleep.
Yeah, Marvin actually used to literally be like, be the one guy who'd be like, no, Sam, like, you gotta let him sleep now. Because I'd go with a stick and he'd be like, you can't do it. Like, but I really want to.
I'm happy I got my own back. I think we'd eaten, and Sam used to like to have a little lion asleep in. I just poured water into his
oh, bed. Savage.
Yeah, but he had the sleeping bag fully zipped up for some strange reason. I don't know why he'd done it. So I just poured water in there and it must have went.
Do you know what?
Do you know what's mad? That wouldn't have annoyed him. He would have just gone, oh my God, Tony Bell, you just poured water in my mouth.
Do it again.
This is an interesting fact, but like I think it's interesting is at the start, Marv, you'll notice, and Tony you know it as well because you were the worst. When you get into this jungle, right? Like there are, I know we say like, you know, they look for bugs, so they've got cameras everywhere, obviously, but they also look for the poisonous spiders,
the poisonous snakes,
because they just sliver through camp. And if they ever do come into camp, the guys in ghillie suits who aren't allowed to speak to you come in and maneuver them away, and you have to like not be where the guys are. Like they literally don't want you talking to anybody. It's just mosquito central, leeches everywhere, ticks everywhere,
frogs
jumping on Marvin's head when he's sleeping. Like, it is the jungle where you are.
Yeah.
So the first night, and you see all this wildlife, and you're like, I've got to sleep in this. And so on the first night, everybody, like a fortress, you get like 3 layers of things. By the end of the first night, everyone's zipped up to their fucking cheekbones, like there. And they're like, right, good night, everyone. And then no one can move because they're so strapped
and
up.
You're
like
sweating.
You're sweating out. No one slept for the first 3 nights.
Nah.
And then by the end of it, I literally slept with my boxers on.
just top of the quilt.
On top of the quilt. Tony never came out of it. Tony zipped himself up every single night.
The last two nights, I didn't zip up.
When Rochelle, Rachel and I went in to see you guys, we were saying it, because we were in that catering tent bit, obviously, which is fucking quite nice. And Rochelle said when she came back, she was like, the fucking flies and the shit when you actually go into the camp. And she went, but the weirdest thing is, Marv's so used to it, they would just land on you, you weren't even noticing. And everything that come, and she was like, doing this, and apparently they were just landing, and you were just like, yeah, carrying on talking. Like, they're all over your fucking head, and you were like, oh,
when I knew that, yeah, exactly. When I knew that, yes, we're fully into jungle life, one night I sleep in a hammock, and I woke up and I felt this heavy thing on my chest. I looked down,
Sam,
yeah, it was a massive frog. And I'm looking, and obviously, if that happened anywhere else at any other time in my life, I would have completely freaked out. I looked at it and I went, oh, it's a frog. Bump, and went back to sleep.
Yeah,
so you literally get used to everything. It's mad.
And there was when Tony goes, I was afraid of spiders, but didn't let it show. You fucking well did, mate. Because when we were sleeping at Snake Rock after we did the hotel challenge,
yes,
I'm waking up right, and it's like 4 in the morning.
You.
I wake up, Tony is literally pacing up and down this camp. This didn't get shown. He's pacing up and down the camp, and I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And he's like coming right close to me and like talking to himself, going, coming like really close to my bed at 4 in the morning. I'm like, this fucker's gonna kill me. Yeah. As he's sat again,
he's lost it. He's got jungle fever. The fucking guy's gone.
The bummer's on the loose.
He stayed longer than he thought.
He hit him hard, this.
I was like, he's gonna kill me in my sleep. I'm just getting a bit worried. And this guy, and I was like, I kept staying awake then for the rest of the time. And
what, for fear of death?
For fear of death, look how big he is.
Yeah.
And he's like right close to me, like mumbling into his, like to himself. It was only when we woke up and I went, Tony, I don't mean to make it weird, like, are you okay? And he went, I thought I saw a massive spider under your bed. And he went, I was trying to radio to some sort of security guard to try and get it off your bed. Oh, and he was going on, what were you saying? There was like a...
So there was a huntsman by my bed that originally woke me up, and it was by my head. So this fucking guy comes down.
He was on the screen, wasn't it?
I slept next to the screen. It was on the screen. Comes down. Anyway, he misses it, the fucking pillock. And he doesn't get it in the bucket. And he's just, don't worry, mate, it's only a huntsman. It's not going to hurt you. I was like, it's called a huntsman for a fucking reason. Yeah. Okay. So he fucked off. Anyway, I can't get back to sleep now. So I've seen a fucking big white spider. And I mean a white spider. Now I know. So I've now, my mic is behind me above my head. And now it's crawled past me and it's going over towards Sam. So it's now at Sam's leg of the bed. So I'm thinking, it's going to go up the leg and then it bites him. He's finished. He's smoke. So
could have done us a little favour there, Tom.
I've got the mic and I've gone to the guy, I'm back again, because I'd obviously got the mic.
Back again.
I've gone, I'm back again. I said, now you need to get him back down here. This time he needs to catch this one, because this isn't a normal huntsman. It's a white spider. So he must have left it 5 minutes, and the spider weren't moving. And I've gone, are you fucking deaf? I said, it's white, and it could kill him. I said, I'm going to get a bit closer to it and have a look what it's like. Now, as you can imagine, I'm talking to myself on a bed. I'm now sitting up there. He's obviously, I didn't know he could hear me. I thought he was asleep. He's obviously pretending to be asleep.
This is the best story, because he thought you were nuts and you were just trying to save him.
Literally.
Yeah. And I'm literally just, so I'm going to this fella, you need to hurry up, mate. Okay, I can see it's massive and it's white. He's obviously just thinking,
in the meantime, Sam's there going, he's lost it. I'm going to die.
Fucking dude.
So the guy comes down and he gets to Sam's bed, and now he treads too close to it and too heavy footed. He's supposed to know what he's fucking doing. Anyway, it runs and it's gone under Sam's bed, but it's gone. Remember where the logs were?
Yeah.
That was stopped the bed from going over the side.
Yeah.
It ran into the log. So I said, right, I'll pick the log up. I said, now you get it. I picked the log up, mate, and it fucking jumped and it just leaped. And he went, don't worry, mate, it's a white cricket. And I went, that's not a fucking cricket, mate. It's fucking huge. It's a spider. Don't worry, mate, it's all right. And I was like, it's fucking night, it's going to kill him. And that was the end of the fucking
story. Do you remember?
Tony's got a log holding him like that. Oh, this fucker's going to bash my brains in.
Mate. Do you know what's, what was that? Was it Big Brother when they used to do that 24-hour fucking...
That would have been so funny.
Imagine they'd done 24-hour and everyone's just watching Tony Bellew completely lose the plot. Yeah. Not knowing he's talking to things, just going, it's going to kill him.
I mean, we've probably touched on another Tony, a beautiful Tony moment, where Jamie Lynn Spears is in the telephone box. trying to call home.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as people who watched it will know, like, you, when you're doing the challenges, you get a phone call and it's Kiosk Kev and he's basically, like, asked you the question. So you could only hear Kiosk Kev, though. It's not an actual phone. It's basically just rigged up to Kiosk Kev's little bit. And so, like, it's not a phone. You can't call anyone. You can only get calls from him. It's a prop. But then Jamie, bless her, she misses her kids, and she's a lovely girl as well. We can all agree.
Yeah, she was wicked.
Beautiful, like, soul.
Yeah.
But she goes into this phone. She's cried quite a few times already by this point.
Every day.
And she goes into this thing, and she's, like, dialing. Like, feverishly dialing these numbers. And Tony turns around and goes, boys. And I'm like, what? He goes, she's in the kiosk and she's trying to call home. Yeah. So everyone's now watching. She spends half an hour in there, right?
Yeah.
Comes out and Nick goes, I don't think it's a real phone. Tony.
Is it Tony's then back on that?
Tony gets on the mic.
It's me again. I'm back again.
You need to come and get her.
He got on the fucking mic. He's on really slowly when she walks past, gets this man and goes, someone needs to take her into the place and have a chat.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of this special episode with Tony Bellew and Marvin Humes. There was so much for the boys to catch up on that we've had to split it up. So make sure you come back on Thursday to listen to part two of all the antics. But in the meantime, have a fabulous week. Make sure you follow us on Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok and YouTube at Staying Relevant Podcast. Just search us, rate, review, do all the other stuff as long as you're nice. Ta-da, off your fuck.
Insanity Group.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.